pray. Lord Jesus, on this Easter Sunday, we pray that you might speak to us afresh through your word today, that our faith might be strengthened and our hearts in your name we pray. Amen. Do have a seat. Do keep Mark chapter 16 open in front of you and those first eight verses that were read for us. Well, it's fair to say that the first Easter started early, didn't it? It began before daybreak. A small group of women, we're told, got up well before dawn to anoint the body of a man who'd been killed 3 days before. A man who had been executed for sedition by the Roman authorities, killed by crucifixion. A man who'd been denied a proper burial on the Friday evening and briskly laid in a tomb because the Sabbath was about to begin. And so these women had left their beds before sunrise to give Jesus now a proper burial, to anoint his body with spices and finish the job that Joseph of Arimathea had begun those 3 days earlier. Those brave and bold women had unfinished business to attend to. They wanted to give Jesus more dignity in death. In many ways, if you think about it, the whole of Mark's gospel is unfinished business by the time you reach the end of chapter 15. If you can remember many weeks ago now, right back to Mark chapter 1, verse 1, you'll remember there that Mark made the bold claim that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. And surely this great story that Mark has told can't end with the last verse of chapter 15. It can't die any surely with the death of the hero. Surely the cross of Calvary can't be the conclusion for God's Son, if that indeed is who Mark claims him to be. How could a man who calmed a storm, healed the sick, and exorcised evil spirits succumb to a Roman execution? What a great anticlimax, what a great bit of unfinished business Mark's gospel would be if it had ended at the end of chapter 15. And even more generally, and even more importantly, this whole world, every human life, would be great unfinished business too, were it not for the resurrection. You see, every human life contains sin and sadness, doesn't it? As well as joys and delights. Every human existence on earth is unfinished business in the sense that it ends in death rather than unending life. Death and sin put a black mark against every human being, don't they? Against every life that has ever been lived. They make every human being look like unfinished business on the day we go to our grave. But wonderfully, tremendously, amazingly, what happened on the first Easter morning completed and satisfied each one of those three unfinished stories. For a start, the resurrection of Jesus made the women's early morning expedition far more worthwhile, far more significant than they had possibly imagined it could be. The events of the first Easter morning have put the names of Mary Magdalene and her companions forever in our history books and our Bibles. And the resurrection of Jesus also brings Mark's gospel to a fitting conclusion, doesn't it? Chapter 16 of Mark substantiates Mark's claim that Jesus was indeed the Christ. He was indeed the Son of God, the one who could overcome every obstacle in his path, even the final obstacle of death itself. And thirdly, the resurrection of Jesus means that every human life need not be unfinished business. It means that death doesn't have to have the last word over any of us. It means that our guilt before God can be gone for good. Our record in the eyes of our Creator can be cleansed forever. So as we look a little more closely at Mark 16 this morning, I want to reassure us that the resurrection really happened. I want to persuade us that it really matters. And I want to encourage us to believe that it's really worth telling others all about. Firstly, then, the great news is that Easter really happened. It's not make-believe or some made-up myth. Mark, the author of our gospel and a contemporary of Jesus, knew some of Jesus' closest friends. In fact, in all probability, Mark's gospel provides us Peter's eyewitness account of the life of Jesus. Mark's gospel provides for us eyewitness evidence that we can take on trust. Indeed, Peter was ultimately prepared to die for his faith in Christ's resurrection. And before he did die, he passed on his testimony to Mark. Some of you may know Caravaggio's famous painting of Peter when Peter was executed upside down. I've seen that painting hanging in a church in Rome. And Peter would never have gone through such a terrible death had he known that Christ's resurrection was a fraud, a fake, or a lie, something that he and his fellow disciples had simply imagined, or worse, made up. But perhaps Peter and Mark had made a simple mistake, a well-intentioned error about Jesus' return from the dead. Can we really be sure that Jesus really did rise? Well, let's consider the alternatives for a moment. Firstly, perhaps the body of Jesus had been simply stolen from the tomb. Perhaps robbers had taken his body away between Friday night and Sunday morning. After all, that would explain why the tomb was found empty. But what that can't explain is why Peter and his fellow disciples said that they had seen Jesus alive. And why would anyone try to steal a dead body anyway? It would have been heavy and smelly, with no value to anyone who might want it. So Christ's body can't have been stolen. But perhaps Jesus' first friends were simply daydreaming and imagined that they saw him that first Easter weekend. But that can't be right either, can it, when you think about it? Because the Bible tells us that there were lots of people who saw Jesus alive again, including over 500 on one occasion, as we heard in our reading from 1 Corinthians. So many people can't all have been imagining that they'd seen Jesus alive. 500 people is far too many to have been daydreaming or simultaneously hallucinating. But maybe, just maybe, the disciples did all really see someone, but all they saw was just a ghost. Okay, that's not right either, is it? Because the Bible tells us that Jesus allowed his friends to touch him, and you can't touch a ghost. He even ate a fish breakfast in front of them to prove that he was physical and very, very real. Famously, his hands and his feet with the hole marks where the nails had once gone through. There are lots of ways that people over the last 2,000 years have tried to explain away Easter, but none of them works. None of them fully fits the facts. We can be confident that Easter really happened, that Jesus really did rise from the dead. On this April Fool's Day, we can be confident that Easter is fact, not foolishness. But so what? Why does the resurrection of Jesus really matter? Well, it matters because it means Jesus is indeed the Christ. It matters because it means forgiveness is possible. And it matters because it means death has been conquered. You see, the resurrection is God's stamp of approval, God's authenticated signature on Jesus and everything he said and did. The resurrection was God's way of saying that he agreed with everything Jesus had done. By raising his son from the dead, God is showing us that Mark was not exaggerating at the start of his gospel when he said Jesus was the Son, the Christ. And so if Jesus is indeed the Christ, the risen King, it means we must listen to his words and do what he says. It means his words have abiding authority. It means his promises can be trusted completely. Christ's resurrection also means that forgiveness is truly possible. It shows that Jesus did indeed fully and successfully pay off all our debt when he died on the cross. By raising his son back to life, God was showing that his sacrifice on the cross really had wiped our slate completely clean. It was showing that guilty men and women really could now become God's forgiven friends forever. And thirdly, and perhaps most wonderfully, the resurrection means that death is indeed defeated. The grave could not hold Jesus for long. And one day all Christians will be given new bodies, just like Jesus received on that first Easter day. A glorified body with some continuation on the bodies they had before, but also gloriously and wonderfully better, immune from suffering and death forevermore. Resurrection bodies we will receive just like Christ, that will never again grow old, with hair that will never recede or even go grey. See, on the first Easter morning, God breathed new life into Jesus' dead body. And the Bible says that one day God will breathe new life into us, and indeed the whole world in which we live. Jesus' resurrection was a wonderful foretaste of the whole new creation that every Christian will one day enjoy and experience. Jesus' resurrection is a glorious prototype, if you like, of the glory that God's people will one day enjoy forevermore. At the end of our reading from Mark this morning, we were told that the women were initially frightened, weren't they, when they'd seen and heard the empty tomb and met this man dressed in white. Many Christians today have a similar feeling of fear, don't we? We believe in our hearts that Christ is risen, but we're fearful of telling others and sharing our faith. We think it's safer to stay silent. We too, like those first women perhaps, are fearful of being mocked for our faith or even abused because of what we believe. But thankfully, those women did not stay silent for long. Later that same day, they too had their own encounter with Christ. They did go on to tell the disciples what they had seen and heard, and they became famously the first witnesses to the resurrection. Those women's words led to the birth of the church and the worldwide growth of the gospel, a growth which continues to this very day. If those three women had stayed silent, we would never have heard the news of the empty tomb. Our lives would have seemed like so much unfinished business. So let's follow the women's example and tell our family, friends and neighbours the good news that Christ is risen. The tomb is empty. Let those we know feel the joy and hope that comes from realising that Jesus is alive. As those famous women came to realise, the resurrection is far, far too important to keep to yourself. Let's pray. Risen Lord Jesus, on this Easter morning, we praise and thank you that you are our risen King, our Saviour, and our eternal friend. Help us to trust you for the future and to tell all we know that you are indeed risen and alive. In your name we pray. Amen.